You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Stone Cold. Guys, I am so happy to see you right now. Listen, it has been a minute, and I love you. I love the way you look. I love that you're listening to my sexy podcast.
Let me sit this ass on you.
Today we have a special, one of my favorite human beings in the world. He's been on Jimmy Fallon. And I considered him that special before he killed it on Fallon. He's also got his own half-hour special on Comedy Central. Put all of your hands, all of your feet, and all of your belongings together. Just pile them on top of each other for Shang Wang!
Hey. Drop it.
Ooh. Today's episode is sponsored by Beyonce.
Which is appropriate.
Which is appropriate because you guys hooked up, right?
Well, we went to the same middle school.
Did you?
Apparently.
No.
She's younger than I am, so I got a lot to achieve.
Isn't that so weird? She seems like she's older than everybody.
Yeah, well, she's so successful. You would hope she'd be the oldest.
So have you been back to that middle school?
No, not really. I mean, it's not far from where I live, but it's not like I've, you know, I didn't like go in and wander around the hallways.
I feel like they should change the name of the school or like put a plaque up of both of you.
Yeah.
To Shang.
Are we cleared on those?
We're cleared on all of this.
Oh, okay. We got clearance.
This is a vague place that we go on this podcast called, I don't know. How would I know?
Yeah, well, I think you can use it for educational purposes.
Yeah, and we were just talking about middle school. What's the name of the middle school?
Welch.
Welch.
Welch Middle School.
Beyonce went to Welch Middle School.
Yeah.
You grew up in Houston?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
H-Town.
You like it there?
Yeah, I go back to visit. I mean, I don't know if I want to live there, but it's just a good place to go and eat tons of food.
Yeah, you love food. Do you still have your food blog?
I mean, no. I mean, I just talk about food. That is my food. This is my food blog.
This is my food blog. My mouth is my blog.
I talk too much about food.
You talk a lot about food.
Wait,
okay. Why don't we do your favorite restaurants? Because that's also educational.
Okay.
Coming to New York, want to eat a bite of food? Shang Wang's got a whole list.
Yeah, I got a list. I mean, we don't have to go through. I could just talk about whatever.
That's the sound effect for your food list.
That was really.
I want to know, because you've told me, what's the name of that pizza place on First Avenue? It's called
South Brooklyn Pizza, but I think they shut down, okay, supposedly temporarily.
Williamsburg Pizza is really good, too. That's around the corner from my place.
Okay, I haven't tried that.
Okay, so what you got for Asian food?
I like to go to the, I'm going to blow up all my spots, but
do
I
it.
Like to go to a place called, it was formerly known as Excellent Pork Chop House.
Good.
Yes, but they have since changed the name to Taiwan Pork Chop House. And it's the same food, but I think they rebranded because they wanted to be like, there's not that many places to get Taiwanese food in Manhattan or in general.
Yeah.
And so they're trying to, you know, distinguish themselves from everybody else, but they're
But you also do cooking, right? Do you cook?
I cook.
Because my secret weapon when someone comes over and I want to impress them is shrimp, curry shrimp in a crepe.
Word.
Yeah.
You make the crepes?
I make the crepes too.
Nice.
The crepes are the easiest part.
Is it?
It's just like a pancake batter, but then you pour it in loosey-goosey.
Uh-huh.
And then you don't have to flip it over.
Sweet.
That's that. What's your
That's
go-to
very
for
pimp.
That?
What's my what?
Your go-to for that one.
I don't know. I don't cook a lot of like, I don't really have like a go-to. I just do random things that I feel like eating. Like I just made dirty rice.
Oh, shit.
You guys ever had dirty rice? It's dirty.
What happens in it?
You just like, you know, put it in the trash for a little bit. No, it's like a southern thing. It's like it's got like sausage. Actually, I didn't even make it with sausage, but one of the key ingredients is chicken livers.
Chicken liver. Oh, I saw those at the grocery store the other night.
Chicken livers?
Yeah.
Yeah, I bought them.
But does it taste, what does
then
it taste like?
It. Chicken livers?
Like liver tastes kind of like,
yeah, it's got a lot of iron. It's kind of gamey. It's a little mealy.
Should I try it?
I love it. I'm all about giblets and in like organs. Yeah. I love eating organs.
Ooh, I'm all about giblets. That's a good pickup line. So, girl, I'm all about giblets.
Flawless.
Flawless giblets.
Okay. So we've never done this in the history of this podcast.
Yes.
But I'm bringing, actually also, I'm more interested in him now. Yesterday, our friend Aaron, everybody, is in the studio right
now.
What
up?
And Aaron works here at Labs, and he also, I found out last night, went to Yale.
Wow.
And now I'm way more interested in him. Everything that he's said to me, I've got to like reassess and be like, yeah, I mean, he recommended that coffee place. I should go.
Good, good.
Aaron.
Yeah, man, all those compliments I gave you, they were way smarter.
Yeah, now I feel like, wow, he likes me. What did you take there?
Film studies was my major.
Film studies. Okay, so, and you said that you had had a conversation with Shang about writing.
Yeah,
writing
we talked process. About like processes and stuff.
Yeah, yes, that was yesterday?
Saturday, maybe yesterday, I don't,
yeah.
More or less the same.
Okay, well, I'm saying let's do it, let's talk about it. How do you write, Shang?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure that out. I try to be a disciplined, like a worker.
Yeah.
So I try to like I have a little office space I started renting. So I try to like go there.
Oh, really?
Monday through Friday and just sit down and do something. But I end up doing a lot of like the messing around the internet that people do at work.
Yes.
So I don't know if it's really helping me, but I'm more of a, like, you know, compose the whole thing, script it out before I bring it onto stage. Although I'm trying to do it more writing on stage, but that is kind of where I started. It's just like I'll write the whole thing out before I.
Okay, yeah, that's how when I started too, I would write down the whole thing like a monologue.
Yeah.
And then memorize it. But now I find that's not what I'd be doing. Now what I'd be doing, I'd be doing cell phone notes.
Mm-hmm.
And then either getting together with a friend or going to a mic. Like basically putting myself under pressure to actually work it out in a way that like sounds like I'm saying it.
Right, right.
So you'll have the idea, but not necessarily like the beats and stuff.
Yeah, like in my phone. Like I mean, and then sometimes I'll write something. Like I have this note now. I was on the road, and I have a note about like the GPS lady and how quickly you turn on her. Like when she's telling you where to go, you're like, yes, fucking yeah, please left. And then as soon as you kind of have an idea of where you're going, you're like, shut the fuck up. But I feel like that's probably like hacky been done. Like GPS stuff is kind of like, so I think I'll probably talk myself out of developing that.
Huh? Well, I don't think I've heard anyone use that exact
use that.
Angle.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So yeah. Should I develop? Should I? And then yeah, then I just my problem though with this is that I develop new stuff, but then I don't give it enough of a chance. I don't, you know, because it's, yeah, like I feel like if I had a favorite kid, I would murder all the other ones.
There's something sad to that, I feel like, there's so many things that just, that like you think about them, like, oh, I told that joke that one time, and it's not that it wasn't funny, but for whatever reason, there's something about it that it just didn't hold, it didn't stick.
Yeah.
And then it disappears into the ether.
Yeah. You need to have a boner about a new joke. You need to be like interested in developing. That's the other another thing that I guess I struggle with too is like the placement of like where things belong in my act.
Mm-hmm.
I see my act as like a bunch of chunks, and like we need to develop new chunks, but
chunky.
Like, you know what I really love? I love when I'm watching a comic just take something from every, obviously, like, that's the best. When a comic just, like, deconstructs something and goes five yeah. jokes further than I would have.
Yeah.
You know, like, for me, that's, my tendency would be to write that GPS joke, get a laugh off of it, not really, maybe not flesh it out completely, and then just throw it out.
Right.
Rather than, like, really, you know, go get into a deeper thing with it.
Yeah, I'm trying to just push my, I mean, I don't know. I kind of am the same way.
That's the French translation of what you just said. I don't know. Educational.
I started out as a very like just short joke writer, you know.
Yeah.
But I've always been trying to just push it. I mean, at the very least, tag it up. You know, like if you already have one good punchline,
why not
just
tag it?
Roll with the momentum. Yeah. But then I guess the bigger thing I'd be trying to do is like what. Take a step back and see what are the other peripheral angles that could be developed into like a whole nother joke and just keep, you know, chunking it up.
Chunky.
I think that's one of the coolest things when you have these, you know, like three or four random ideas and they were sitting there and then you figure out the way they fit together. When you turn it into like a bit or whatever.
Yeah, connectionsies?
Yeah.
Okay.
I love you, Houston.
I wish that I'd played that before. Okay, cool. And then the second thing that that Aaron just brought up was that Aaron going through breakup, and I was gonna we're starting the podcast. And I was like, why don't you just sit down, and instead of me just being like a normal friend, I could use this as digital content.
Yeah.
But I could tell the whole, I mean, because, Shang, have you gone through a breakup?
Yes.
Have you been brokenhearted?
Yes.
All right, so let's hear, so Aaron.
Yeah.
How far are you into this breakup?
Almost coming up to 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Celebrate that 2 week anniversary. And.
And how long? How long was this relationship?
11 months, one day, and a morning.
Yeah, and he was stoked about it, too.
Yeah, I was hanging out with Sabrina the night before I met this girl, and she gave me fashion advice that worked.
Yeah.
Fashion advice.
Yeah,
my wife fixed me a little bit in terms, not fixed, I just didn't care. Like, I come from, like, two parents who are happy to wear sweatpants as much as possible and repeat outfits. It's not like it's not on their radar about it's bullshit. Like, I kind of was brought up to, like, you know, like, fancy shit is bullshit, spending too much money is bullshit, getting a massage is bullshit, dressing nicely is bullshit. Like, just be a good person, which in some ways, yes, but balance, and the balance is, my wife is a wardrobe stylist, and she has shown me a little bit, like, there are certain things that you can do that I think a lot of male comics / like the boys that hang out here, I basically told them one day, I was like, just get one good pair of shoes. Just get like some shoes that are like shoes, not just running shoes. Now, there we go. And Aaron's wearing it.
I'm gonna get another mic for my shoes.
That's
just
right.
My shoes on the table.
So I was purchased a day after Sabrina and I met. I mean,
My dad, actually, his hobby is going on eBay and buying shoes.
His hobby?
That's what he does for fun. He'll buy used shoes on eBay. But only there's like five or six different companies that he loves. Like, he loves Mephisto's and Doc Martens and Keens.
That's cool.
And every time I'll go home, I'll just trade out a pair of shoes for a new pair of shoes.
Yeah, that's what you need in your life, is someone who does care that much, or someone who has that much expertise on something.
Yes.
Because I
you don't care or know.
Yeah, like, I appreciate good things. Like, I'm similar with you. Like, I think a lot of this stuff is bullshit. I'm trying to get down to the essence of, like, what really matters to me. And, like, I'm not disciplined enough to, like, manage my time enough to be invested in researching all these things.
Yeah, I'd rather, like, a master just tell me some shit.
Yeah.
And I just, exactly. That's, I mean, before, I've always dated women who are, like, who kind of have that other side that are aesthetically, like, that can make things look nice.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I mean, I don't know why, that's... I don't know. I don't think it's that I've been searching for that. Like, I just think it balances out. It balances out, and that's often what's successful in a relationship. One person knows a lot. Like, in the meantime, when I was single, I like brought my friends over that like know what makes things look good, and told them like, how do I make my room look good? Because my tendency is just to be so practical. Like, my parents are so practical that it would just be like drawers, 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 and like no sense of the way things look.
Mm.
But there is something to, like, when you were saying that it doesn't matter that what the essence of life. Yeah, it's true. But it's like one of those things too, when you think about, when you get down to the essence of everything, sometimes I think, well, then you also have to pay your rent and stuff like that. There is an element of we're all courting each other a little bit. I know I got really crazy. I jumped from paying your rent to courting each other. But I'm saying, like, in terms of impressing, like, like, at the end of the day, you have this great essence, Aaron. But, like, when you meet a girl and she looks at your shoes, she must, like, it's first impression time.
Yeah, but the less of that essence that I spend on shoes, the better I am at paying my rent. So
that's true. Listen, I'm, like, sweating because I kind of feel like I do. I feel like I didn't say anything. I feel like I sort of looped around in my mind and didn't say exactly what I felt.
Rent is essence.
Well, no, I'm just talking about, like, sometimes, you know, like, sleepover style talks. You're like, yeah, I'm like this and this and this. But at the end of the day, it's like, well, rent is due. Like, women are attracted to certain types of, like, people are attracted to certain types of things. And we all have to, like, you know, shower and shave, and I got to pluck the little hairs off of my beard.
There's the surface. You can't neglect the surface.
I like that I'm plucking hairs off of my beard. No, I've got that, like, solid. I mean, like, that first layer of beard is fine.
But the beard's hairs.
But the beard on top of the beard really needs to be trimmed.
Yeah, that's what you're saying. The essence beard is there, and as much as you care about the essence beard, you need to worry about the surface beard a little bit, too.
We solved it. I think we got it.
That was it, more or less, right?
That was everything that I wanted to say. But okay. But I wanted to talk about breakups and about, yeah, it's like so hard in the midst of it. Because it's the last person that like made you feel like you were had like a love blanket on.
Yeah, and it's that when you're in a relationship and you have any type of emotional uncertainty, they're the person you want to take it to.
Yes.
Mm. You know, so to be. To be upset about it and not be able to talk to them about it is one of the harder parts. Yeah,
but you're such a cutie. Isn't he such a cute guy?
Super cute.
I'll be fine.
So you got any breakup tips, Shang?
Well, it seems like he has, I don't know, like you seem to be pretty, like, you don't seem to be too upset and you seem to have a good, you know, a good perspective on the whole thing. I don't know. My worst breakup was like in college, so I was a little bit younger, but also like it was one of those like first long term.
First cut is the deepest.
Yeah. So I don't know. Have advice. I just you'll get over it eventually, but just don't dwell on it too much. Let yourself heal. If you feel crappy, if you want to cry in public, go ahead. You gotta like move on somehow and work on yourself. Flawless.
Yes. I feel like the mistake I kind of made with this one had to do with the last one, which was like really drawn out. Just like I used to do a joke about it where I say that we dated for 6 months and spent another year and a half breaking up, which is not too far from what it really felt like.
Yeah.
But with this, I just wanted it to be really swift and it was almost like too much so.
Mm.
Yeah. So I mean, at the end of the day, it is the another difficult thing with this is like you've been for the past 11 months looking in this direction of like this is like, you know, with blinders on of like this is where I need to focus so that this relationship is successful and like you're a cheerleader of the relationship and all of a sudden you've got to like turn the other direction and see all this stuff that you've been.
Yeah, I mean, with this it was a little weird because we had kind of talks that like it's going to end at some point.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it was like, I mean, the two of us, we were like super compatible, but, you know, timing and everything else, it was always like...
You always knew that
this is like a now thing. This isn't forever. So there's going to be a time. So basically she was saying some things that made me think, oh, the time's now.
Yeah.
And my mistake that I realized that I made, I did the worst move. We basically like we talked about it or whatever at night and in the morning and didn't actually like formally break up, but I felt like we had implied it.
Mm-hmm.
And this was at her place. So I left. I left after her because I go to work later, but I left her like a breakup note, which at the time I thought was just me saying everything.
That you were
bluffing? No, I thought I was just saying everything that I wasn't able to verbalize.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize that we hadn't already actually broken up. So that was what did it.
Reading that note for her was like, okay, done.
Yeah. I mean, and pissed her off, rightfully so. It was not, you know, it's kind of like.
But despite that, whether you'd written the note or not, those were the things in the note were real things.
Yeah. But I would have rather, if it were entirely up to me, we'd still be together. But what I should have done is drawn it out and made her make that decision herself. But I wanted to make it, you know, I know how rough a breakup can be. So I wanted to be like, well, if this is what you want to do, then we should just do it. Stop struggling. Stop fumbling. Just get it over with.
I think I think that's the right thing.
Yeah, I think that sounds. I mean, I kind of agree. I guess the one thing you could have done differently was just like instead of doing the note, just have a conversation.
Yeah.
You know, just be like, okay, well then.
But sometimes I feel like notes are like with, oftentimes conversations you end up being kind of debates, and in a note you can be precise about what you want to say.
Right. But I mean, it just sounded like you guys were already there. In the conversation you had?
Yeah, I mean, it was like we talked a lot, and I mean, I think that the result probably would have been the same, but I just feel like I could have gone about it in a more mature manner.
Right, right. I kind of did the same thing with mine. I was trying to be super mature about it. I was like, I don't want, you know, if we're done, let's just be done. And I guess I kind of preemptively broke up as well. Like, I was just like, okay, well, I guess you're done, so I'm not gonna, you know.
I mean, like, at the end of the day, whether it's fast or slow, or like you lean on each other and keep on fucking. By lean on each other, I mean lean your penis into her pussy continuously for a year after. It's like, it's still like the decision is the, like, it, you got to that point for a reason. And I think oftentimes, sometimes people break up and get back together, and it's great. But generally speaking, when you reach, like, when your relationship is headed to that direction, and then you reach the decision to break up, then that is.
Yeah, and I think that once you're considering it, it's only a matter of time. Like, one thing is if there's like some tangible problem, mm-hmm. You know, we're out doing shows all the time, you're never around. That's a problem that you can either figure out how to fix. And be like, well, I'll take this night off, or, you know what I mean? We'll communicate better. We'll find time. But if it's not something like that, if it's like a feeling thing about, like, I don't know if I'm feeling this anymore, and it's not something you actually can try to fix and either fix or not fix, if you have those feelings, then it's pretty much inevitable. It's going to be it.
That was a good sound effect. Shank, you're still with your girl, right? That was an ominous, it's only a matter of time.
Oh, okay.
That was the breakup swish.
It sounded like, you know, yeah, it sounded like something.
Is this better?
A kind of presence.
The breakup ding. You have a girlfriend.
Yes.
And you guys are long distance.
Not anymore. She moved out to the East Coast earlier this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Technically, she moved to Connecticut, but she's pretty much at my place.
Cool. Your roommate's cool?
So far, I try to be very careful about that, because that's not
ideal. That's your roommate shutting his door.
A lot of shut doors in our apartment.
Yeah.
All three of them. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's weird, because if my roommate brought a girl, like, just kind of living at our place, I'd be a little uncomfortable with that. And so, like, I try to be very, you know, aware of when he's around and how much, like, space we give
him.
You, like,
pick up some extra groceries?
Yeah, or the toilet papers.
Yeah. Classic toilet paper sound effect. Oh, wow, that's not over. And in terms of balancing what Aaron was talking about, the idea of doing a lot of shows.
Yeah, I mean, that's a thing you definitely will have to address when you're a comic in a relationship.
Yeah.
I think that's always a thing. It's like kind of ongoing, but... I mean, my girlfriend is very supportive. And, you know, sometimes I feel like I just want to hang out with my girlfriend. You know,
yeah.
Like, I don't want to kick it after a set and just like have a drink. You know, so sometimes I feel like there's just more incentive to go home, which it can be both good and not that good. Just because, like, sometimes it's good to just be more involved in your community, hang out with your buddies, talk shop.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's good to go home sober and read.
Yeah.
And just be, you know, educated and try to get some stimulating, you know, some new ideas in your brain before you go to sleep, so you can have inspiring dreams.
I find it interesting that you're going to an office. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah. It's a new thing. I've only started.
Is it like a place with a bunch of desks?
Yeah, it's like a
Is that what an office is? So it's like, okay, so wait a second. There's a roof.
There's people. There's windows.
So, but it's like one of those many, like, you know.
What, yeah, it's like a big open space.
Open space,
it's
community.
It's a co-working space. It's a writer's room.
It's a writer's
naked.
Room? Everyone's a writer there?
Pretty much.
Just the naked ones.
Oh,
just
cool.
Just the naked
just
ones.
The naked ones.
Pretty much. It's for writers. It's a quiet room. There's no cell phones. There's no talking.
No
it's
drinking?
Just, you can drink. You can't eat. Yeah, you get to drink on. Mm-hmm.
Have you gotten to know some of the other people?
I've met a couple of them. One of them's like, I think quite a few of them are working on novels. One of them is
cool.
Like a former like ad agency person who is now working on his personal projects.
That could potentially be like a source of inspiration or whatever, having, you know, a whole bunch
of... Get them
of
to write you a part in the novel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put me in that shit, man.
I just write a joke. I read the shittiest novel.
Yeah, I don't know. It's definitely a new experience. I mean, it's been a while since I've worked in an office, so it's cool to like revisit what that environment is like, even though sometimes I feel like this is very weird and sort of stifling and sterile. And this is why I'm doing stand-up, because I don't want to be in a space like this.
So are you committed to many months? Do you think that this will be a while? I mean, it sounds like maybe this is an experiment.
It's an experiment, but it's not that... I'm gonna try it for a few months.
Yeah.
And we'll see how it goes.
Okay, cool. And based on how you do, I'll either do it or not.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
Well, that was one of the things that we were talking about the other night, is that sometimes you just kind of have to shake your routine.
Right.
Whatever it is, just do something a little bit different, and then the newness of it will get your mind going in a new way.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess, yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to tell more stories, because I don't feel like my stand-up isn't mostly composed of stories. So, I mean, in general, if you put yourself in a new situation, you go through a new experience, that could potentially just be something interesting to share. And it might not be immediately funny, but you can make it something funny on stage. I don't know.
Have you done any of the like the storytelling mics or try to get involved in that? Because New York's got this pretty cool community of just storytellers who aren't... I mean, there's crossover people who also do comedy, but some are just like serious storytellers.
No, I haven't done like the story mics. I've done a couple of story shows, but I think...
Oh yeah,
I
you
told...
did that show. You did Ari Shaffir show, right?
No, I didn't do Ari's. I did Risk.
Risk.
Oh, cool.
Okay, cool. That's at UCB, right?
Yeah, they do at UCB, but they also
thank
do
God
it
that was
over.
Right. Otherwise, I'd be wrong with many comments. What story did you tell?
I told one of them was about how I, shortly after college, I went on this little, just a trip to the beach, and it was like a nighttime trip, and it was like college buddies. And so some of us ate like a pot mushroom.
Favorite kind.
It's pot infused mushroom.
Let me sit this ass on you.
That's awesome.
That was just like what the pot would say to the mushroom.
Yes.
So,
it's like a pot calling a mushroom delicious.
So anyways, people got high, and there was like an emergency situation where the driver of the vehicle that we were in,
who was high?
He was not high, but he was unconscious.
And
we're on a highway.
No.
We're driving on a highway. The car is going, you know, we're like, it's highway speed. It's dark. It's super dark.
He was like, I guess he must have been like, guys, I feel kind of dizzy.
No one knew what happened. I wasn't even aware exactly until like, people were screaming in the car. People were like freaking out. And then I looked at the road. We were kind of on the wrong lane. And then I looked over at the driver, my friend, and he was unconscious.
Oh my God.
And I was like, I guess I have to start driving from
the
passenger
seat. So first
you
grab the wheel?
Yeah, and then I started applying the brakes with my other arm, my other hand.
What? How do you see then?
You barely see over the dash.
Okay,
like,
gotcha. All right.
Yeah, so it was just like this crazy ordeal that I had to like handle while I was in the most unideal state. Unideal when I was fucked up.
Yeah.
And I had to be like,
I like second drafts.
You know, driving a car from the passenger seat, and it was just a freaky situation.
Did you just pull over?
Just pulled over, but it took a long time because, well, it felt like a long time because I was high, but also because his foot was on the gas. And
yeah,
I couldn't, like, I was just
you
like,
undo
we were braking. We were
like, trying to brake.
Yeah, I'm trying to brake, and he's still gassing, and it just took a long time to, like, pull over.
I'm mad at that guy.
No, I mean, he just had a situation, he had a condition.
God damn.
Yeah, it was crazy.
That guy shouldn't drive very much.
I think he's you know, something that he had like get
checked out.
Yeah, like a medical thing. Yeah, but that was an intense experience. So that's one of the stories I told. And then the other one I told was just about how
It's totally opposite, but it also involved weed, only because I
weed makes good stories.
I guess so. But this other story I told was about how I for a while in 2010 when they were doing the Census Bureau.
Yeah.
I was like a temp worker for the U.S. government.
Okay.
But the problem was they hired like three of us to be, they called us clerks, office clerks.
Yeah.
But like none of us had a job. Like none of us had tasks or duties. Like we just showed up and then we got like bounced around from different people. And then they just started making up work for us. And that was when I like got heavy into like smoking weed.
You would
regularly.
Smoke during the day?
Like before I go to work.
Just hit that water bomb? I'm trying to activate the story and also involve Beyonce.
Long sound effect.
I know that one lasted a little bit longer. So morning weed,
afternoon weed,
afternoon weed, nighttime weed.
I mean that was a government job. That's what happens. Well, just not yeah. all just that.
I mean, I feel like I know a couple people that check out on that.
Yeah, I mean because they were trying to create jobs and we got hired, but we didn't have any work to do, and so we had to pretend a lot of stuff, like pretend we were working.
Yeah, that's so
but
crazy.
But the problem was we didn't have desks or computers or phones or pens.
So you had to mime desks. Oh.
There was boxes of stuff in this huge room, and we had to move them around constantly.
Just move boxes.
Move
from
boxes.
One side.
We basically there's like hundreds of boxes full of these kits that people were going to use to go out and do, you know, knock on doors to conduct the census in person.
Yeah.
And what we do is we would open a box, look inside, close the box, take it off the pile. Put yeah. it down on the ground, open the next box. And then we just, basically, there's a huge, imagine a huge pile of hundreds of boxes, right?
Yeah.
We shifted the whole thing one box forward at the end of the...
No.
At the end of the 3 weeks.
But how did they allot money for you guys? Like, what's the deal?
Taxpayers.
Yeah, but why did that happen, do you think?
I don't know. I don't know. It's just bureaucracy, big government.
Fuck you, big government.
Well, you know, we needed work. We needed a
Wait,
paycheck.
Is it? Are it Republicans better because they say small government?
Yeah,
well, they are.
Do say that. I don't know if they're better.
It's one of their. That's one of the things that they do well.
Do smaller government.
Yeah.
I wish that there was a Republican government that also was like cool about gay people and cool about like. Helping people.
There's some. It is. It should be more like an issue by issue thing, in general. That's the problem.
What does that mean?
Well, that it should be like you vote for the dude, and because he likes this and not this, and you like this and not this.
Yeah.
But then he's part of the party, so he has to, you know, vote along with something, because he's got to go the line or whatever.
Yeah.
That's deep.
All right.
So
well,
did they think you were doing anything useful, or did they know?
I think they pretty much knew that we weren't really. They didn't give us work.
There were supervisors whose job it was to supervise you not really doing anything.
Basically, but we had to look like we're busy. Like the other two guys that were on the job, like they couldn't hack it. They couldn't fake it.
They
would just like sit around and talk. Which is what I would do, but when it was time to look busy, you had to like put your hand on a box. You had to like start moving stuff.
Yeah,
that job.
I've had bosses who say that. They just like, just look busy.
Yeah.
This is a thing?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was at, this was at Starbucks, where a lot of times you are busy when you're like, my job's to give you coffee, but if there's like nobody there, and then you're supposed to like clean shit or whatever. But then if the shit's clean... Your boss is just look busy. I don't want to look at you and see you not working. It's just like this disgust.
That thing is, but like, couldn't it? I mean, you should just, you could, we're human. Here's the thing. When friends come over or like in general, I find that like sometimes I just sit on my couch and I'll pet my dog or whatever. But when someone's about to come over, I'll put my laptop out. I'll like pretend like I'm doing stuff, and I'm like, why the fuck? Why is it creepy for me to just be sitting on the couch and looking out into space? That's creepy, right?
No, that's fine.
That's fine in this world where it's safe to talk about it. But well, we live in a world where we are always supposed to look busy. And I'm not saying we should all have jobs like the one Chang had that was like, you got nothing to do except move boxes by one. But I guess what I'm trying to say, guys, is, you know, let's just stop struggling to find points in what we're saying. Good. And let's just love each other. And take a seat. As you're listening to this, take a fucking seat and stare out.
Let me sit this ass on you.
And imagine all three of us sitting on your lap.
Yo, she should have enunciated that better. The T and sit.
I'm hearing sip. Let me sip this ass on
you.
Yeah,
before the on you, just
like
let me
she's
sip.
Got a juice box shaped like an ass.
Well, it just sounds like let me sip this ass, which isn't entirely unreasonable to sing about in this type of music.
No, I guess not.
You have to hear the end of the
phrase. I mean, Beyonce's music is notorious for scatophiliology. Scatograms. Okay, guys. Time has passed, which is the name of that sound effect. And it's time to play. I'm playing a little bit of Chang's stand-up.
Oh.
Like ladies do love diamonds. Ladies love diamonds because...
You don't want that one?
No, whatever.
Ladies love diamonds.
Go ahead.
Diamonds are forever.
Have you never heard it?
They are forever. But so is a plastic bag. Because my love is eternal. Because my love will never break down. I got you this non-biodegradable grocery sack. Oh, girl, don't be sad. Don't be sad. Look inside. Yeah, 3.5 carats.
That's my buddy Shang Wang.
Where'd you get, what is that, from YouTube?
Yeah, oh. I mean, I do have a research team here.
Oh, cool.
Don't let the misplaced sound effects fool you.
I don't know why I used to say 33 carats and I started saying 3.5 carats.
I like it.
I think 33 is better.
33 carats?
Because 3.5 people take longer to like grasp what I'm saying. They just think I'm talking about an actual ring or something.
Well, 24 carats is the most amount of carats in gold,
though. Right.
So it should be under 24.
Okay. But 20, you know, but what? You can have more carats than diamonds, right?
A carat just means...
Let me Google it.
Weight, right?
I don't know. Weight or cuts or blings. Like how many blings on it there are.
I don't know.
How many sparkles?
Carat purity. The carat. It's the unit of purity for gold alloys. Carat purity is measured as 24 times the pure mass divided by the total mass.
So what about the diamonds?
Diamonds have carats too.
Yeah.
There's diamond carats. There's different kinds of
24
carats.
24 gold.
Well, she's looking this up. I like the half carat because there's a visual of like a carat broken in half.
Okay.
So that made the connection that it's, and that's a reasonable number of carats to have in a bag.
Right.
3.5. And then like you ate the other half a carat.
Diamond carat. Well, there are 1.75 carats. Why don't you guys tweet in and let me know.
I'm gonna have to look this up.
How many carats is the maximum carats for a diamond, and what is diamond?
I got a carat related joke I'm gonna have to look up too.
Get it.
I need this.
You gonna give it?
No, it was just when I was at Starbucks, this woman came in and said that she lost her, right now I'm saying 6 carat or 10 carat diamond engagement ring. I don't remember the number of carats, but she specified the size of her ring in carats.
Yeah. And you were like, bitch, you should have said it was cubic zirconia because now I'm
exactly,
stealing it.
Yeah.
Do you know that Shauna left her fucking wedding rings at a McDonald's bathroom once?
Wow. Did she get them back?
So we were on the road. It was super, like, we left super early because she had a flight to San Francisco, and we were like upstate and heading to the airport at Newark, and I was somewhere in New Jersey, and so we were both really groggy. She's like, I'm gonna go wash my face and hands and whatever at McDonald's, and so she goes inside, comes back. We drive for like 2 hours before she realizes she's about to leave to get into the airport, and she's like, shit, my fucking rings. And she remembers that she left them in the McDonald's bathroom. So she calls the McDonald's. They're like, oh, no, we don't got your rings. And then she calls back and she's like, wait a second, like someone got into the bathroom after me that worked at McDonald's. Like surely when they were washing their hands, they would have seen the rings that were right beside the sink. And they were like, no one here knows anything. And so right before she gets on the, and I'm like so pissed. And, yeah. But then she's like getting on a plane. So I'm like, well, I mean, like, I love you. Bye. Cool. Whatever. It's like our anniversary was our first anniversary was coming up.
Wow.
And like, then I was like, okay, well, then what I have to get you is, like, those, the, like, that $3,000 ring.
Yeah.
Kind of, right?
This.
Like, I mean.
Wait, so did you end up finding them? Or did.
So then she files a police, she, before getting on the plane, she files a police report. And when she lands, a detective writes her and says, like, yeah, we looked into it. We've got your rings.
Oh, wow. You know what, though? Whoa. This makes me. Bow down, bitches. This makes me feel worse about the joke.
Why?
Because the point of the joke was like, if I find your ring,
I'm just keeping it.
Yeah, because I don't keep anything.
You can't keep people's rings. No, but it's
also. I mean, that's like a joke. I would never actually like keep somebody's ring. But that's the joke. Is like I get paid $8 an hour. You lose. You're so negligent. Yeah. But it's also like the joke is like, what a dumb bitch are you for losing your rings? But now I don't.
Oh my God.
But I don't think that about your wife. So now I feel bad about myself for writing.
Well, now you gotta balance out that joke. You gotta deal with those issues in the joke.
A lovely woman. But why'd you take him off?
I don't know. I mean, she makes mistakes. We both make mistakes that will result in like several lost children. Don't tell the adoption agency. But we be losing children all over the place. No, kids will be better because they'll be bigger and I'll love them more.
You know what? They'll have to be more responsible because you guys are just misplacing shit.
Exactly. They'll be the most responsible kids automatically by way of hitting us as parents. Now, I'm going to, speaking of parents, call my mother. But before I call my mother, I want y'all to just sort of cleanse the palate by sharing something with the crowd. And the something is... What's a good piece of advice in general that a comic has shared with you, that you've shared with the world?
I like thinking about how happiness is a choice.
That's a good one.
What's a good piece of advice? Keep going.
Don't stop. Yeah. Yeah, it's
don't
true.
Don't stop.
Happiness is a choice. Keep going. Don't stop. Balance. So, include balance in your life is my one. Mine is like, you know, you do a little bit crazy party. Okay, well then why don't you do a little bit workout, doing some work on your computer.
Crazy workout.
Do too much computer work on your computer? Why don't you go ahead and take ecstasy? JK. That's an extreme balance, and then it's going to suck up that dopamine from your brain, and then you're going to feel like shit. But if that's the choice you make, you better do something to feel better after.
But you know what? That work hard, play hard thing doesn't work because you need to relax hard too.
Yeah, that's... 100%
true.
Work
hard, play hard, relax,
real. Let's hit that. All right, let's hit that truth. Yep. That's the truth.
Are we choosing happiness here? Is everyone here choosing happiness?
I mean, I have to be honest. I don't feel like I choose happiness all the time. I feel like I also am a kind of bratty. I think human brain tendency is to sort of mine for the negative things, right? Like you kill, but then you see one person's face that's not laughing, you're like, oh, fucking person. And I don't think that I lean so hard that I have a pretty decent programming in my brain, right? But I think when I was younger, I would cry a lot. We'll call my mom and check that out. But I think I used to cry for no, she'd be like, yeah, you just make up reasons to cry.
I'm a big, big crying fan.
Yeah, crying is cool. It's like coming from your face.
Oh, yeah, you get it out.
Yeah.
When you cry, you know you're alive.
Do you guys want to cry at the end of this
one? Hello.
Hi, Mommy.
Hi. Is that still the U.S. number, Bina?
I'm calling your Canadian number. My mom's a spy.
The Canadian number. Yeah.
She has several identities.
He made a change. Yeah. We're going to get another number for you, though, okay?
Mom, we are live on this podcast, and we cannot expose your number situations. We want you to come off as someone who's cool, calm, collected, knows her number situation.
Okay.
But did I used to cry a lot when I was younger?
You did. There was a time when you used to cry. I think you almost had to cry a little bit every night for some reason.
And what were the, what was the reason?
Nothing really. You just kind of, I think you wanted to cry, and anything would just make you cry a little bit. I remember there was a, like, kind of a period in your life where I kind of worried about you.
Well, did you ever consider sending me to a therapist?
No, no, I didn't. Not at that time.
What, I mean, what, at what time did you do, wait? What time did you? What time
maybe
did you?
Maybe if you would have continued, you know. I didn't think it was necessary.
So it was just like a little chapter in my life, like a 1 year chapter or 6 months. That's fucking difficult for you guys. That sucks.
I would say about a year.
I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, say about a year.
1 year, 365 days that I made up a reason every single day. Ugh, what a nasty kid.
Maybe you needed the attention. I don't know.
I was probably like, I'm so gay, and I don't understand what that even means.
Can I ask you this?
No. This was earlier. This was earlier.
I was always gay. What do you mean earlier?
Yeah, I know, but I mean it was before you realized that you were gay. It had nothing to do with that. I don't know. Maybe you were confused. I don't know. You just had to cry a little bit almost every night.
Aww.
Now, let me ask you this. When she cried, would she be crying to you for attention, or would she just kind of be crying alone? Like, would it be something she would want to talk about?
No, she didn't really want to talk about it. And I think probably there was something that would make her cry. But it was more like an excuse for her to have something to make her cry. That's like, how I felt at the time, anyway. You don't remember, Sabrina?
I guess. I mean, how old? I was in my late teens, right? How old was I?
I would say more like your early teens.
What?
You know.
Wow.
I don't remember. This whole time I thought I was a little baby child, and now I'm like almost embarrassed that I've. How old was I?
I don't know. Maybe you were about 12, 13, something like that.
God. Was that also when I was like not leaving? Was that also when I wouldn't leave you guys alone because I thought you would just
die? No. That happened earlier. You were smaller at that time and that happened.
Did that happen to you too, Shane?
Yeah, I went to that period of like, if I'm not there, horrible things could happen. I was so paranoid. I made all my family members, instead of, they couldn't say goodbye, they would have to say, see you later.
See you later?
Yeah, I forbid people saying goodbye.
Did someone in your family die around that time?
No, I just watched too much like Unsolved Mysteries.
Oh my God, Unsolved Mysteries seriously will fuck a kid up. I mean, I could have been crying just from one episode of Unsolved Mysteries for a year. I mean, this is crazy. 12 years old?
We didn't watch that kind of stuff.
I mean, 12, though, I was gay. It could have been gay things, but I don't think I was crying about
being
gay.
I don't think it was. I don't know. You know what? You always liked a lot of attention, and sometimes I felt maybe that gave you a little bit of attention every evening, you know? I don't know. It lasted maybe half a year or something like that.
Oh, my God.
You know. If it was lasted a very long time, I would have really worried about it.
Well, I'd love for people to write in to me and let me know how you feel about me crying as a child. And if you don't, I don't know what I'll do to myself.
Is that an
I think it's maybe normal. I think it's probably normal. I mean, you go through so many different phases and feelings and things going on that you understand and things going on that you don't understand. You know, and I think crying is kind of a soothing thing, you know.
You don't cry often, though, Mom.
Not that often, no. But a lot of people say when they cry afterwards, they feel better. It's a relief.
Yeah, we were just talking about that.
It's a release of something, right?
Okay, so then let's give our audience.
I think it's true.
Let's give our audience members the homework of crying at some point this week. Taking
good.
The opportunity to take that like negative feeling and just go straight to the orgasm with it.
Don't be afraid to cry. Even the man should not be afraid to cry.
Yeah, man. You know? Yeah, man.
That's the thing. Yeah.
Okay,
so
mommy.
How was your show today?
The podcast? Or the The podcast has been absolutely terrific. We have Shang Wang here and Aaron Friedman. We've got two guests, two men.
Hello.
Who are not afraid of crying.
Okay.
And Mom, you've been reading a book that you wanted to talk about?
Oh, well, I was reading a book by Carol Burnett, and it's called This Time Together, and she kind of It's Laughter and Reflection. She kind of, it's kind of a, almost a memoir, you know, of what happened to her in life. And then
what happened to her?
Stuff. Well, the way she grew up and, you know, how difficult it was. It's kind of probably any young comedian or actor could, you know, identify with it. You know, it's like, you know, and the breaks she got and, you know, what the breaks did for her. And, of course, because, you know, this Carol Burnett show, you know, was on TV when I came here to Canada around that time, and there were reruns, a lot of it. And, I mean, she is a very talented person. Like, it was a very, very funny show that she had, mm-hmm. a variety show. Mm-hmm. And I think you young people should, you know, look back at some of these things that other people have done, you know, before your time. I think you'll probably enjoy it. It's just hilarious. It's really very funny. There were four people together in her show, and it's just, you know, and one of the guys, his name is Tim Conway. He said it was so painful to work with him because he would just, you know, say things and do things to try to make them laugh on the show, and a few times they did. They just couldn't keep a straight face, you know. He was so funny.
What's his name?
Tim Conway. It was her, Harvey Korman, Vicki Lawrence, and Tim Conway. I don't know if Tim's still alive. Harvey Korman died, I think, about 6 years ago. She's still alive. But you can go on YouTube and you'll find a lot of, you know, little clips and, you know, about her show.
Okay, mommy.
I think there's even, like, really long. You should really do it. It's really very, very
fun. We're going to do it. We are going to do it. And we are going to wrap up the podcast now. Do you have any last...
Okay.
Wait. Maybe you can try and help the audience members cry by saying something that would make them cry.
No, I don't think I can do that. I wouldn't know what to say.
You
they
said some things to me.
Just watch a very sad movie.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, that'll make you cry.
Okay.
Watch a sad movie.
All right, mommy.
Actually,
I love you.
I read a book that made me almost cry.
What was that?
So, read a book.
What book?
It's called, let me see, because I already put it away, because I got a whole bunch of books from Trudy.
Was it the Brooklyn
it's
one that you talked about last
book.
Week? The tree
huh?
grows in Brooklyn?
No, not that one. It's called A Patch of Blue. A Patch of Blue, and they made a movie out of it. Sydney Poitier was in it.
Okay.
And it's a... Maybe we'll talk about it next time.
Yeah, let's talk about that next time.
It's a very touching story with a very unexpected outcome, you know?
Okay, mommy. I love you very much.
It's kind of sad.
And we're going to talk about that sad movie and get people crying next week. Even though it's a book,
next week we'll cry.
I anticipate they'll make a movie from it
week.
Based on what we talk about on this podcast. I love you.
All right.
I feel like crying.
Are you going to watch some of Carol Burnett's YouTube clips?
Am I going to? Personally?
Yeah.
That's how I start every day.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's how I get in the zone.
All right.
Shout out to Carol Burnett. Shout out to Ursula Fry, my mother. If you have any questions for Ursula Fry, please do tweet them in. We had a flood of them last week. I couldn't even address one of them because it made me want to cry.
Okay.
Bye, mommy.
Bye. Okay, bye.
Bye,
everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I mean, she is running this show. She used to have a 1-minute segment. She's stretched it into a 10-minute segment, and I have to say, she is doing good.
She's cool.
She's mad cool.
She's all about crying and comedy.
Yeah.
Give me some.
I gotta watch those clips, man.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining me. Shang Wang, you're on Twitter.
Twitter, Shang Wang Time.
Shang Wang Time. Aaron.
@ I'm Aaron Friedman.
And I remain to be Sabrina Jalice, better known as Beyonce. Good night.
There was a time when you used to cry. I think you almost had to cry a little bit every night.
You are my heartache, and I'll go fooling around and chasing old mistakes. You'll be screaming.
you close and touch the lips that you'll be kissing.